It's an honor to be up here. It really is. See everybody's face and just to be that vessel for God, it's a really big honor, huge honor. As Bruce said, oh, so those of you who don't know me, Jen. So as Bruce had said, you know, I brought this to him. The Lord really laid something on my heart a few months ago, so I don't really have to go recap that, but it did come along with my testimony, but he gave me a word as well, okay? So the title of this word is called The Power of Our Testimonies, okay? And so we're going to start in Acts 22:15. It says, "For you are to be his witnesses, telling everyone what you have seen or heard." Telling everyone what you have seen or heard. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this honor to be up here, Father, and just to be a vessel, Father. A vessel to give your word, Lord God, and I pray right now that every distraction is removed, Father, including myself, Father. I pray, Father, that Holy Spirit just flows through me, Lord. And I pray that every ear is open. And I pray that every heart is able to receive everything, Father, that you speak through this word. Let it come directly from your throne, Father. And let us fully receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our testimonies. Does everybody have a testimony? Who has a testimony? Yeah, everybody has a testimony, right? Did you know that they have the power to unlock prison doors that unbelievers cannot unlock by themselves simply because they haven't seen or they haven't heard? They don't know. So we all have a testimony. And I do know that each and every one of us has been given an opportunity to speak to someone and to share your testimonies, okay? My question to you is, how much of that testimony are you sharing? Is it just something that's on the surface? You know, something that you know, wow, I had a good day today. You know, God really blessed me today. He just, you know, blessed me financially, or he blessed me this way, or he blessed me that. Or are you truly, truly witnessing to them with the testimonies that he's gotten you through in those valleys? We want to tell everybody about those mountaintops that we have, right? Those mountaintops, we have them. You know, he's blessed us tremendously, and he continues to bless us. But do we really witness to those that are lost and going and struggling through things? And are we truly, truly witnessing to them about those valleys where you felt like there was no hope, where you felt like there was no way out? We sing it in the song, you know, where he parts the seas. He parts the seas. He opens up those seas. There's a way out. So that's my question for everybody today. How much of your testimony are you sharing? And are we limiting the Holy Spirit from truly working through us and speaking to those people that come into our paths? And they come into our paths more than one today. They come into our paths more than one today. That little nudge that we feel when we're talking, and we could be going through the store, you know, just grocery shopping, you know. You feel some sort of, you know, feeling that, you know, that person needs something. Maybe he gives you a word, just one word to go and speak to that person. So we're given opportunity more than once a day. And again, are we only sharing what we feel comfortable sharing? Because we do know that God is not comfortable. He's comfortable, but he makes us uncomfortable. We need to get uncomfortable, because that's when we truly, truly start relying on Holy Spirit to guide us and to work through us. And that's coming directly from heaven's throne. Those things that we feel that we need to share, but we stop because we're afraid. I don't want to be afraid. So Acts 4:20, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen or heard. Okay? Now I want to point out, in Acts 22:15, he says, everyone. His witnesses telling everyone. Okay? Acts 4:20, he says, we cannot stop telling about everything. Everything. Not just, again, not just what we're comfortable with sharing, not just what, you know, not sugarcoating things, you know, to make ourselves still, you know, how do you say it? It's, we don't want to, we should not feel ashamed of what we have gone through. We went through it for a reason, and that reason has purpose, and that purpose is to set other people free. We cannot be afraid. And this is a time, we see that the world is getting darker. We see that there's so much chaos going on in the world. It's time for us as believers who have received his power and have we have all these testimonies that he's gotten us through dark time after dark time after dark time. It's time for us to start sharing that with the world. There's a lost world, and we know that, yes, but what are we doing to help? Whew, Jesus. And again, a lot of times we want to share those mountaintops because of those are the good feeling ones, right? Those are the exciting ones. I mean, God is exciting all the time, right? But those mountaintops, they're easy, right? They're easy to witness, you know, to people. They're easy to express out loud. His goodness. But his goodness is also in the valleys. And it's even greater in those valleys. Whew, Jesus. So, we have all gone through storms, and we continue to go through storms. Okay? And, these storms, they create experiences. They create experiences that are used to deepen our faith. Our faith. Because when they deepen our faith, then we are able to share that faith with others, and it becomes very, very effective. Very effective. Because we all know that when Holy Spirit starts working through us and starts speaking, they feel it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They feel it. So faith, and it enriches our testimonies so we can speak with greater confidence and authority. We have that authority. We have that authority. God gives me a lot of times, he gives me a word, you know, like when I'm praying with somebody or when I'm just seeing somebody, you know, sometimes God just gives me one word. Word. Can you still hear me? Okay. One word. But I have to act. If I don't act on that, when God is telling me to go to that person and speak this word to them, we miss out. We miss out on an opportunity for that person to have been healed or to have been set free. And just by one word. Yeah. Freedom. Lord, I see freedom. I'm hearing freedom. I'm hearing breakthrough. I'm hearing healing. Whatever the word is, you hear it. And he gives it to you for a specific person in a specific time. So we need to start acting on that. Because we come in here every week, every Sunday. And I know we talk about being set free and seeing breakthroughs and going after the lost and seeing them set free and seeing breakthroughs in their lives. Do you know people who are dealing with addiction and you want to see them set free? It's time to get our testimonies out there so they know what the power of God is capable of doing, and there's nothing. Nothing impossible for him. So we have to start being more open and transparent. Now the world has turned this into this transparency. Okay, the world is, this is truly, truly what I believe in, what, you know, God has spoke to me about this, is that the transparency, the world has made us view that's really private. That's something you shouldn't share because people are going to start judging you. You know? Someone did try to do that to me, by the way, so that came from experience. You know, someone, I posted something on Facebook and someone came to me and told me, you know, you really shouldn't put your business out there like that. You know, proud of you that you went through all that and you're good, you know, you're set free or whatever, you know. But then you start getting people who are going to judge you. You know, they're going to start thinking differently of you. Let them think differently of me. Let them think differently of me because I know what I've been through. I know what I've been through, and I know what God has gotten me out of, and he continues to get me out of things. And he will continue to get me out of things because we serve a God that's the same yesterday and today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. So we have to start being more transparent. Our experiences and what we've gone through, they are specific for people that God is going to bring you in your lives. So when he gives you these opportunities to speak to people, they're appointments. They're appointments scheduled by God. So there's something that you have in your testimony that may be dark, and that God had, there's no other way but through a miracle of God that you got through that. There's somebody that you need to share that with. So it's to be more transparent. When you feel the leading of Holy Spirit to start talking about it and to tell someone. I feel it all the time, so. I feel it all the time. Bring them. Bring them. So we can't be effective when witnessing, when we allow unbelievers to see what we are comfortable with showing and telling them. So I said that already, went over that. So it's just that simple. It is really that simple. And all of this may sound really basic, and we know about that. We know about testimonies. We're supposed to go out and tell them to the world and witness, yeah. But we need to hear this. This needs to be more, we need to start doing this more and more and more. Because again, like I said, we know that the world is getting dark. We know that it's going to get darker. We know that. And God wants everybody to be up in heaven with him. So we are not to leave anybody out, because everybody will know. Not one person will not, they, not one person can say they don't know. Our job, our job is to, our job is to, is to make it known, right? Right. So I use this little analogy, or if you want to say something simple, but you can't gain knowledge from a book by only reading the title. Sounds simple, right? That's written in the, you can't gain knowledge from a book by only reading the title that's written on the outside. You have to open it up and read what's inside. So again, you know, the witnessing that we do, is it just like, God got me through another day. You know, it can't just be that, because he gets us through every day, yes, but we need that. We need those testimonies coming directly from our heart, our experiences, and we go through every, again, we go through every experience for a reason. And again, it's to set people free. It's for breakthroughs. It's to share his love, because the love that he had for us and who we are today, and we're not the same yesterday, and we are who we are today because of the love of God. And that's the only explanation. We can't afford to be afraid when witnessing. We can't. And I speak a new boldness over everybody today. We need a new, fresh boldness. A boldness that when we start feeling Holy Spirit speak, that we just go with it. We go with it. And not just here, outside. Yes. And that's what's most important, is outside. Because we know. But we need to make it known to those outside. The lost, the broken. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What does that one say? Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea. But you will receive power. You're not in this alone. You never are. You're not in this alone. When we are to do a work for God, we are never alone. And we need to be more reliant on Holy Spirit to speak through us and to work through us. Because everything that we've been brought through, we were not capable of doing that on our own. We did make a choice, however. We made a choice to say yes, but we didn't do it alone. So the power of the Holy Spirit is alive in us, and it becomes more active when we allow ourselves to be fearless, vulnerable, transparent vessels. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel every day. And as we open up our mouths, the work of the Holy Spirit will go into the deepest wounds of those we are led to witness to. The deepest wounds. We have no idea what they're going through, but Holy Spirit does. Somebody didn't know what I was going through, but because somebody reached out to me and prayed with me, I'm here today. because I know. Lord knows I would not be up here speaking. He knows I would not be up here speaking without, you know, Holy Spirit to guide me. And I thank God that I don't feel a bit of nervousness right now. I don't. Because this is what I want to do. If what I can say, if I allow him to speak it through me, and if it could save one life, if it could bring one breakthrough, that is my desire. That is my desire. Psalms 49 and 10. This is the NLT. Did we have NLT or no? Oh, okay. I have told all of your people about your justice, justice to be made right. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone, there it goes again, everyone, in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. That is what I want him to tell me I've done. This is my desire. This is what I want to do. I want to be able to say that I've reached out to as many people as I could when I felt led. And I boldly allowed Holy Spirit to work through me. Because what I've experienced in my life, I want people to experience as well. And that the most important thing that I've experienced is the love of God. His love. His love. And this is what we should want to accomplish. We as his church, we should want to accomplish and be able to confidently tell God that we've done. Can we say that we're doing that? Even I'm not saying that I do it all the time. You know, there's times, there really is times that he has, you know, I still fall short with that, you know. There have been times that he's told me to say something, but I missed the opportunity because I was afraid. So I'm still working on that too. I'm not just speaking it to everyone here. I'm working on this as well.
I prophesy right now over your future that you will speak to thousands of people.
Thank you.
That God's going to pour on your head.
Thank you, Jesus. I receive that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we all have our own journeys and we have our own experiences, and they're all for a purpose. Romans 8:28, I have the New King James Version and I have the NLT. New King James Version says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We're called according to his purpose. We have purpose. And I love that this comes out right now, you know, because after Bruce's series of, you know, getting to know who we are and who he is in us, we have purpose. The NLT version says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So all and everything. I love that he uses those words, all and everything. So that doesn't mean just the good stuff. It doesn't mean just the good stuff where we just, that, and again, it goes back to, you know, us giving our testimonies. We do, we comfortably want to speak of the good stuff, you know, that he's blessed us with, and but we don't want to give into or share the ugly stuff. And I've been through a lot of ugly stuff. I've been through a lot of ugly stuff. All and everything means just as it says, good and bad, pretty and ugly, pleasant and painful. It all has purpose in his plan for us. And he wants everyone and all to love and serve him. We got it down in here, but we need to help those out there. We have power in our testimonies, and it's time to unlock those. It's time to let it out. It's time to let it go so that we can unlock the bondage that other people out there that don't know. We need to unlock those doors for them. So I'm going to pray one more time. Father God, I just thank you for this word, Lord God, and I just thank you, Father, that I was able to be your vessel through this, Lord. And I just pray, God, that everyone was able to receive that, Lord, and that just we become bolder and we not be afraid anymore to go out and speak our testimonies. And this next portion, I pray that everybody just receives. So with this being said, I'm moving into my testimony. Y'all ready? So I spoke of being transparent, so I'm going to be transparent. So I grew up Catholic. Remember being a little girl, being in the pews, doing the whole kneeling, Our Father, going to make my first communion. The way we had communion today, I wasn't able to participate unless I went to confess the week before. So that's what I grew up knowing. Sorry for this. Keep forgetting that this is right here. So I grew up not knowing what a relationship was with Jesus. By the time I hit the age 13, I was molested on more than one occasion. And throughout my life, I always struggled with self-worth, low self-esteem, and always searched for someone to love me. I didn't think I was capable to be loved. At the age of 15, I met my kid's father. Those are my babies. It's my sister. At the age of 15, I met my kid's father, and he was my first boyfriend. And I got pregnant at the age of 16. I married him when I was 17, and I had all four of my babies with him by the age of 22. I look at my kids right now with their ages. When they turned 22, they were still babies to me. It was through him, though, their dad. It was through him and his family that I learned who Jesus was. So again, there was purpose in everything that I go through. So between the years of 2000 and 2002, I was introduced to cocaine. And I became a user of cocaine and alcohol. I had overdosed a couple times, and I still went back to it. We were in and out of homes, sleeping on floors, and we had no type of stability. And that's, I'm saying we, I mean me and my kids and their dad. And my marriage was always rocky and always back and forth and very inconsistent. Until one morning, August 13th, 2002. I remember that day like it was just yesterday. I was coming down from my high, and I had been up all night. I remember hearing my babies crying and listening to the sound of them, you know, their cries, and listening to the sound of the birds chirping and daylight's breaking, and that was horrible. I got up and I went to the bathroom. And I remember just looking at myself in the mirror, and I just started crying. I cried out to God that day, and I said, God, help me. I don't want to be this way. This isn't the life I want to live. I don't know how long I was in that bathroom, but I do remember that shortly after that, I did go to, you know, their dad, I don't want to say his name, but their dad, keep referring to him as their dad, but their dad's aunts, I remember going to them, and they prayed with me, and that day I accepted Jesus into my heart, and I was born again. So I served God faithfully, and me and my kids attended church here. It was Lakeshore at the time. I came here not knowing one single person. I just felt led to come one day, and I took a leap of faith, and I said, we're going. So came, and I remember walking through those doors, and I felt Holy Spirit, and I felt the love, and I just felt so comfortable. And that very first day, again, not knowing anybody, I can remember lifting up my hands because I felt so free here. I found out about Lakeshore Tabernacle because they were doing a block party at Anderson Pool, and just chilling at home, not doing much, and then have a knock on our door, and youth, they were passing out flyers that there was a block party at Anderson, so I'm like, yeah, we're not doing anything, so let's go, and at that time, I wasn't saved yet. So we came, and then little did I know, it was an outreach. I started hearing somebody giving their testimony, and then I could hear the worship music playing, and we had a good time. We ate, you know, but it was just me and my family, and again, I didn't know anybody. Didn't get introduced to anybody out there either, and just had a nice time with the family. Went back home. So when I first got saved, I was searching for a church. And then God reminded me, remember that block party you went to? That was a church that, you know, you should go try it. So came, tried it, and here I still am. Here they still are. Okay. How am I? So my marriage started falling apart, even more than what it was already. And we ended up divorcing in 2005. And I was a single mom of my four babies. And a few months later, I met someone, and the relationship lasted for almost a year. But it didn't work out. I remember still feeling empty, unloved, And even though I was saved already and had a relationship with Jesus, I was still learning that process of who I was. And I was still not in that healing place where I could feel his love and feel loved and continue to feel loved. So I was always searching for love from someone physically. And I never felt I was good enough for anybody. I didn't feel I was good enough to be loved. Something was wrong with me. So then I met my fiance of 7 years in 2007. And while with him, I was introduced to the pill world. I had no clue what pills were or what they did or how they affected your body. But one thing I do want to point out is when I was introduced to these things, it was my choice. And I take full accountability for that because I never want anybody to feel like I'm blaming somebody else for what I chose to do. Okay. So shortly, I became addicted to Adderall. That today is used for ADHD. I couldn't function without it. So the lie said, right? And I stopped attending church, and they stopped attending church, unfortunately, because mom did. Sorry again. Okay. So I stopped attending church, and my baby stopped the same year. And I was so bound with this use that I went to go get my own prescription. I went, and if I ran out, and I did run out plenty of times with my prescription, I ended up buying it off the streets. And I would steal it. I would buy it off the streets, I would steal it. I would do whatever I could to get the pills. In 2011, something dark and ugly came to light, and it shattered my world. It caused painful division in my family. And eventually, I lost my relationships with my father, my mother, and my siblings. It ripped my world apart. It shattered my world. My relationship with my fiance was very toxic and broken already, so for the most part, it was always just me and my babies. It's always just been me and my babies. In 2012, my fiance ended up going, so this is like the dates. 2011, that happened. 2012, my fiance ended up going back to prison. 2013, I lost custody of my son, and he was put into foster care. My world spiraled even more, and I lost all hope. And I was in total darkness. I then developed a drinking habit that partnered with taking the pills. And I was getting both however I could. However I could. Stealing, manipulating, lying to everybody, sleeping with men to get what I wanted. I was in and out of jail more than 10 times. More than 10 times, put on probation twice, revoked once because I couldn't follow the probation, so I spent more time in jail. And I tried on many occasions to commit suicide because I didn't want to live anymore.
Around the year 2016 is when God reconciled my relationship with my mom and my siblings. And I was still in full active addiction. The amazing thing about the reconciler that we serve, not only did he reconcile those relationships, but my family was saved in serving God. So years went by and my kids got older and were able to take care of themselves. And unfortunately, because mom was a mess, they were forced to grow up quicker than what they should have. In 2015, I met someone else and I married him in 2016. He did give some sort of stability and I was finally able to get my son out of foster care and back home with us. I was able to calm down on the drinking, but I still hid the pill addiction. Still continued lying about it, still continued stealing if I could get it, however I could get it. There was stability, but I still battled the addiction. And I was still drowning. So we divorced in 2018 and shortly went back to the drinking and continued to use the Adderall as well. So I remember crying out to God so many times, and I wanted it all to stop, and I tried a few more times to take my life, and I truly, truly did not want to live anymore. I did not want to be here anymore. I didn't want to continue going through the pain that I was going through, not only the pain that I was enduring myself, but the pain that I was causing my family. I do remember coming to church on occasion. You guys would see my face every now and then pop in, you know, because he was always still with me. He never left, and he never will. I always, always felt him tugging at me to come back and to come back. And I wanted to so bad. So I reached out to a couple of ladies from church. You know who you are. And they would pick me up and they would pray with me even when I was intoxicated. Then I was offered a way out. Larry knew of a faith-based program that I could go to. And it was located in Boynton Beach, Florida. I've never been further than Illinois. I spent a little bit of time in California, but just, you know, riding through, but being away that far away from everything. Never been like that by myself. So I had to take that leap of faith and trust that God had everything and everyone else in his hands. And I had to take the opportunity, no matter how far it was, and trust that God had a plan for me. So I left July 9th, 2019, and I was there for 3 months. And at that time, God showed me and told me that I was the woman with the issue of blood. Because when I counted the years, it was exactly 12 years that I battled addiction and I was suffering from addiction. And I didn't know at that time how, you know, yes, I knew the word, you know, but, and I knew the story, but I didn't know exactly how long she suffered with it. So when I was told the 12 years, and I had done the math before I knew, so I was like, wow, that's right on. Okay, God, that's spot on. 12 years, and I was healed. And my chains were broken. And I'm here today. I've had no temptation. Thank you, God. To go back. And July 9th, I will be 5 years sober.
So I have a couple more scriptures for you. Maybe it can help a little bit. If you're struggling with something like this or just a struggle. So when I was reading about my one morning when I was saved, Psalm 116, 1 through 10 came to me. That morning, August 13, 2002, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call upon his name as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I trusted in him, and he saved me. Another point that I have, almost done. Another point that I have is when I was offered a way out, another scripture came to me. And that's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Where he, the Lord, had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So that day, I left, July 9th, 2019, I left to a land that I did not know. And I left my children, and I left my family, and I trusted that God had everything in control and in his hands. I knew I had to go. And he has fulfilled this promise that he gave Abraham in my life. And he continues to do even more with it, where he goes on to say, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Yeah. You are all nations. This isn't just for me. You are all nations. You are all a blessing to others. You have all been blessed. This is not just for me. I reached out. I reached out to the women here in at church. And James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'm living proof of that. It's powerful and effective. Desperate. Who's desperate today? Matthew 9:20-22. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." And Jesus turned and saw her and says, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith, your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Your faith is what's going to allow breakthrough to others, not only in yourself, but you're going to take it out to the world and you're going to bring breakthrough to other people. Your faith. How much more faith do we need than our testimonies? Right. We believe it already. We know he's real. We know what he can do. We know what he's capable of. We know that there's nothing impossible that God can't do.
Amen.
We know.
Amen.
So it's time to share that faith with them out there. It's time. But I know we still struggle. We still go through things. I still go through things. But we aren't to be ashamed of it. We aren't to be ashamed. I almost touched it again, sorry. We're not to be ashamed of it. Because we're human. And God knows what we're going to do already. You know, we're not perfect. But the most important thing is the choice we make in that moment. Do I choose to continue doing what I'm doing? Or do I choose to serve the mighty and living God?
Come on. Amen.
He's done so much in my life, as you've heard. And I don't know if anybody's going through anything here. But we know there's no judgment here. We don't judge anybody here. This place is a house full of God's love. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. It is. It's the same love, if not stronger, that I felt coming through those doors that very first day. So if anybody is dealing with something, I would like an altar call. Father God, I want to thank you for this word, Lord. And Father, I just want to ask that you continue to pry at hearts, Lord. I want to ask, Father, that you let us be real with ourselves, Lord. Let your spirit speak. Let us be bold, Father God, and come forth as you are calling us, Lord. Minister, Father, to anyone in here, Father, that is struggling with anything. It could be addiction. It could be whatever they're struggling with, Father. Whatever it may be, Lord. Minister to them right now, Father. We know who you are. We know what you're capable of. We know what you can do, Father. So I just ask, Lord, that you speak to us, Father. And minister, and let us move as you are calling us to move. In Jesus' name.